So we are in this series, Point of Impact, and I want to encourage you to make sure that you get the most out of every message of this series by taking advantage of the daily devotions that go Monday through Friday for you. They are provided to you when you come here. If you watch or listen to the sermons off of the website, you can download that material right from the website as well. But make sure you take the most out of that. A dad's driving down the road. His five-year-old son is sitting in the back seat of the car, and the boy says, "Dad, how do you spell God?" And his heart burst with joy because the father thought, "It's taking." All those nights reading Bible stories and taking them to church and trying to set a godly example, it's taking. My son cares about the things of God. So with great pride, he said, "Son, you spell God G-O-D. And the little boy said, "Thanks, Dad. Now, how do you spell Zilla?" And the moral is, sometimes people are not nearly as committed to God as they might appear to be. And Jesus' path collided with such a man like that once, and the impact made the point that Jesus does not do half-hearted decisions. The story is in Luke chapter 18, if you want to open up your Bibles to that passage. But I want to first share with you what I think is the very core, the essence of Jesus' teaching on the issue of discipleship. And that's from the 9th chapter of the book of Luke. And we heard this read at the very beginning of our service today. And that is this: "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it." And here is a principle that I hope that you're going to remember for the rest of your life, because it will impact how you understand this issue of discipleship. Are you ready? Following Jesus is for losers. And that is a hard pill to swallow in a culture that invented the saying, "Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing." We like to win. We like winners. And that's why the owners of professional sports teams give millions of dollars to athletes with horrible character issues, because they will help the team win. And we care more about winning than we do about character. That's why political parties will put someone up for office that has convictions that don't always match with what the people agree with, but they have the best chance of winning. That's why we came up with the win-win, why every child gets a trophy, because we like to win and we like winners. And honestly, when Jesus began teaching and his movement began gaining momentum, that was the reason that a lot of people joined the cause, because they looked at Jesus and they said, now that's a winner. This guy is a winner because he can beat disease. He beats demons. He even beats death. There's no way he can't beat those Romans. In fact, they believed this so much that Peter even felt prompted once to correct Jesus about his mission, because Jesus said, "I'm headed to Jerusalem and it's going to be a very big lose." Peter said, "No, we didn't sign up for that, Jesus. We signed up for the big win." But Jesus would not alter his mission to lose his life. And he wouldn't change his call to follow his father, to choose a cross, to lose his life. And it didn't matter who approached him. I mean, every person was given the same decision to make. Even the winners Because Jesus got approached by winners, and as I said, he collided with one of these winners in Luke chapter 18. And by every scorecard, this young man was a winner. He had youth, he had authority, he had money. They called him the rich young ruler. He was a winner. He's the kind of guy that you wanted your daughter to meet when she went off to college. I mean, this is a guy, if he shows up at your church, a pastor would start to salivate, praying. He better place his membership here. You want this guy. He is a winner. He has influence. He has affluence. But he has no assurance of his standing with God. So he comes to ask Jesus about that. He wants to know if there is something that is missing. And Jesus says, well, are you keeping the commandments? And he beamed and he said, I'm winning at that. Every day I check them off one by one. I am winning doing that. But he had no idea what he was saying. So in Luke chapter 18, verse 22, it says when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Now, this isn't really about the poor, by the way. Jesus is not addressing the issue of charity, but he is addressing and he is confronting the problem of idolatry. Because this young commandment keeper who thinks he is winning that game does not understand he has been violating the first commandment his entire adult life. Because he is looking to something to give him what only God can give to him. He is finding in his wealth his identity, his security, his significance. So what Jesus is doing is he is naming that chain that is keeping this guy from giving his whole heart to Jesus. Well, that's why he came in the first place, because he knew something had to be wrong, and Jesus named it. You have something in your life that's keeping you from giving your whole heart to God. So lose it. He invited him to be a loser. Look at verse 23 in Luke chapter 18. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Now, this should have really been an easy sell. Jesus should have been able to get his name on the card, but he would not compromise. You see, not everybody left Jesus better. Some left Jesus sadder. And it made Jesus sad too. Because look at how he responds. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And for the last 2,000 years, we have been straining to come up with ways to get Jesus to not mean what it really sounds like he's saying here. Because being rich is the scorecard. It is the ultimate trump. It's the proof that you're a winner. We want a religion that will let us keep all of our treasures and give us just a little dose of God on the side. That's the ultimate win-win. We want both and discipleship. And Jesus only offers either or. Jesus says, you must embrace my mission with so much allegiance that you will lose anything that is tugging on your heart. And you don't just decide this once. You have to make this decision every single day. Because losing is a winning strategy. Let me explain. You see, whether you realize it or not, the truth is, everybody loses. Winning anything significant involves choosing to lose something else. I love baseball. One of my favorite things in the whole world to do is go to Wrigley Field to watch the Chicago Cubs lose. I mean, play. I really love the game of baseball. It's my favorite sport, above football even. I love the game. I love the strategy. I love the duel between the pitcher and the batter. I used to think, I wish I had chosen to actually pursue that and follow and try to become a baseball player. But the truth is, I really would not like it. Because I would never be willing to do what you have to do to be that level of a player. I am not willing to lose what it would take to win that skill. There was an article several years ago about a coach of a sports team in Texas who was revered by his community. And he talked in this article about the price that he paid to become a winning coach. The hours that it took. How it cost him his marriage. Even cost him the relationship that he had between his own children. But he's got rings on his finger from the championships. And he has the adulation of a sports idolatrous city. And to him, this coach, it was very much worth it. Whether you realize it or not, every single day you are making decisions to lose so that you can win something else. You lose sweets because you want to gain health. You lose arguments because you want to gain a relationship. We've all been in that situation where you've been in this contentious situation and you decide that you could win the argument, but you could lose the relationship. So you decide it's not worth it. Some of you have made decisions when your children came to give up a job so that one person could stay at home with the kids. You lost income, but you gained time with your children. You thought that was worth it. That was a decision that my wife and I made, that she would become a stay-at-home mom. She would raise our two boys. They didn't have always the best and the most recent name brand clothes, but we had our boys. I always felt it was better to clothe them in the moral fabric of God's righteousness and character than Reebok. And we do this all the time. A lot of times I'm asked by people, I wish I could have a closer relationship to God. You can. But you're going to have to spend some more time in solitude. You're going to have to get up early and spend some more time in prayer. You're going to have to spend some more time in the Word of God. Less time looking at your smartphone or watching movies on Netflix. You can gain what you want to gain if you are willing to lose what you have to lose. And every day, consciously or unconsciously, you are making this decision. So the question is, are you deciding to lose well? I read a story about the Glenn Adsit family from a book called Deep Joy for a Shallow World. And his family were missionaries to China back in the 1940s. They were arrested by the communist regime. They weren't sure if they were going to be executed. They were praying that they would end up being deported. And word came down that they would be sent out of the nation and allowed to return to their home. And they were told that they could take with them only 200 pounds. That's when the arguments in the family started. Because the father wanted to keep his typewriter and all of his precious books. Mom wanted to keep all of the heirlooms to bring home with her. The children, of course, wanted to keep their toys. So they negotiated. And they came up with 200 pounds on the nose in a big trunk. And the soldiers showed up. Are you ready? Yes. Have you weighed? Yes. Did you weigh the children? And suddenly, everything that was in that trunk was garbage compared to the combined weight of their two children. I enjoyed a story I read several years ago. Apparently, in New York City, there are 11 million dogs and 8 million cats, which in my mind are 8 million reasons to not go to New York City. And there, when a pet dies, you don't just go out into the backyard and bury the pet. So the city offers this service. For $50, they will come and they will dispose of the carcass of your dead pet. Well, this one quite enterprising young woman put an ad in the paper that she would come and take the carcass of your pet for $25. So what she would do is she would go to Goodwill or she would go to the Salvation Army. She would get a old suitcase for $2. And she would go to the address and she would take that dead animal and put it in the suitcase. And then she would go and get on a subway, put the suitcase down, and act like she was distracted. And within always, without fail, a couple of stops, the suitcase was gone. And my guess is somebody went home disappointed in their treasure hunt. Because sometimes what we chase as a win proves to be an unworthy pursuit. Jesus contended that the kingdom win was worth the cost. He would preach, repent, receive the good news. The kingdom is here. The possibility of living life engulfed in, embraced in, absorbed in the life of God and living and moving in the flow of His Spirit, drenched in His love. That kind of life is possible right now. See, what that rich young ruler thought was a burden, Jesus thought was a bargain. So he would tell stories like this one in Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then pay attention to how this is worded. In his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. It was a joy to sell everything he had because he wanted that treasure that much. So let me tell you about Satan and his great aim for your life. It's not to get you hooked on porn or to get you to become an alcoholic, although those are ways that he tries to achieve his great end. You see, the great aim of Satan is to keep you from seeing following Jesus for the win that it really is. He wants you to focus on what you're going to lose if you sell out for Christ so much that you don't see what you're losing because you're not doing that. So in Luke chapter 18, verse 28, Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." We tend to focus on what we will miss if we get more serious about Jesus, and we don't see what we're missing because we are not more serious about Jesus. We think about what we will lose with a wholehearted yes, and we don't see what we are losing because of a half-hearted, insipid discipleship. What we are missing is Jesus. And what we're settling for is religion. And we are missing doing life with Jesus. It's that young rich ruler, he heard that word sell. And as soon as he heard that word sell, his brain just turned off because that's all he could hear. And he didn't hear the word me. You get to do life with me. That's why if there is some area of obedience where Jesus is calling you to and you are hesitant because it feels like, man, this is just going to be a big loss if I do this and it's making you sad, it means that you just really don't get Jesus yet. Today, they have the marathon at the end of the Olympic Games. But in the beginning, it was the very first event. And the winner would get a bouquet of flowers, and he was able to stand beside the king for the rest of the contest. So the big day of the race has come and the runners are ready. And there came a stranger who was more athletic, more stronger, bigger than any other runner. And they were intimidated. He was offered money not to run. He was offered property not to run. But he refused. He ran. He won. And later he was asked, was it worth turning down money and property for flowers? And he said, I didn't run for flowers. I ran to stand beside my king. You see, good losers gain Jesus. When your life collides with Jesus, what you get is a new definition of win. I'll give you an example. In the Bible, there is this guy named Saul. We call him Paul. By his day and by their scorecard, he was a big-time winner. He says in the book of Philippians that he was the Jew of Jews. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He says, everything that we say is important was a big win for me. And then he met Jesus. And so he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Half-hearted decisions for Jesus are really sad. That's the best word to use. It's just sad that we could get so close to the life that God has for us and miss it. Because Jesus is not a big enough win. So he won't compromise. He doesn't care how rich you are, how famous you are, how powerful you are. He just won't compromise. He wants to know if you will lose in order to gain him. By the way, he made that same decision for you. In order for you to have life, Jesus had to lose his. That's what Gethsemane is all about. Father, is there another way? And he got on his knees and he sweat and he wrestled and he prayed and he decided to lose. And hell still trembles and heaven still rejoices from the impact. So, what will you choose to lose? That's the essence of the call of discipleship. It is the point of impact of really all that Jesus teaches. What will you choose to lose? And we started with Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and verse 24. We read it again. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. But then verse 25, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Many of you remember this TV family from a few years ago. The show was called Everybody Loves Raymond. And the star, Ray Romano, made the decision after a very long and successful run to end the show. It was not because of bad ratings. The networks would have paid him a whole bunch of money to keep that show going. So when they taped the final episode, Ray Romano stood before the studio audience and he explained his decision. He said, 15 years earlier, I came out to Hollywood and my brother hugged me. And he put a note in my suitcase. And when I got here, I opened it. And it just said this. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? And Ray said, I've been very blessed. I feel like I've gained the world. But now it's time for me to work on my soul. Maybe you need to work on your soul. You need to start by identifying that that chain that is tugging at your heart, that is keeping you from giving all of your heart to Jesus. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you name that chain, to be able to just let it go and see all that you're missing when you don't let it go with Jesus. Choose to lose. That is the path to victory. Would you stand up? I want to pray with you this morning. Father, I am praying right now that you will help the hearts of all who are hearing this teaching receive what is being said. It's not so much a head problem. Most of us in our heads agree, but in our hearts, therein lies our real struggle, because this is not how we've been taught to keep score. We need your Holy Spirit to do a work in us that we can just start to see how wonderful life with Jesus is. Help us to be filled with the courage to overcome the fear that it will take to just simply let go. Help us to just follow Jesus. We ask this all for His glory and in His name. Amen.